This is a Poets and Writers Page One author reading. To hear more, visit us at pw.org/multimedia or at soundcloud.com/poetsandwriters.
I sent my first love letter when I was 6 years old. My handwriting was blocky and large, requiring great effort and concentration to express this big emotion my little body could barely contain. I made a card shaped like a butterfly, cut out with safety scissors, decorated with elaborate colored pencil patterns, and wrote to my 5-year-old cousin Sabina that being far away from her made me feel like a butterfly with one wing. The grown-ups called us Snow White and Rose Red, after the Grimm's fairy tale about two sisters who match their mother's 2 rose bushes, one that produces white roses and the other red. Though our mothers shared a sisterly resemblance, I had my Jewish father's wild curly hair and pale blue eyes, and Sabina had her Filipino father's warm brown skin and straight black hair, always brushed to a sheen and neatly braided. Dark and light, opposite twins. Snow White and Rose Red, no relation to the Snow White of Disney fame from another Grimm story, is remarkable among fairy tales because the two sisters are not rivals or foils, but simply love each other. The two children were so fond of one another, the story goes, that they always held each other by the hand when they went out together. And when Snow White said, "We will not leave each other," Rose Red answered, "Never, so long as we live." In my earliest memories, before my parents and I moved from New York to San Francisco when I was 5, Sabina was always either by my side or nearby. Sometimes we lived together, and sometimes we just stayed over at each other's apartments a lot. One morning, when I was 4 and Sabina was 3, we woke up before the grown-ups, and she said she was hungry. I could wait for my own breakfast, but I couldn't wait for hers, so I took her hand and led her to the kitchen. I pulled a chair over to the counter, where I climbed up and dug around in the cupboards until I found a salad bowl. When the adults woke up, they found us sitting on the floor, covered in milk, sharing an entire box of soggy cereal. That was always how I felt about Sabina. If she was hungry, I would climb obstacles taller than myself to bring her a whole week's worth of breakfast. Moving 3,000 miles away from her was my first heartbreak. There's a lot of cultural mythology around the idea of a first love, that it stays with you for life, a high you never stop chasing. A magic spell cast on a fairy tale princess, dictating the way the rest of her story will unfold. One theory about why first love makes such an impact is that first experiences with romantic love tend to happen during our teenage years, when everything is heightened by increased hormone levels and when the part of the brain that retains memories is maturing. This is why the music we listen to as teenagers tends to remain emotionally significant throughout our lives, and, in theory, why first teenage love stands out, a yardstick by which to measure every other love that comes after it. But what about the first childhood experience of love, the first person you truly love other than your parents? Does a first sisterly love set the bar for a lifetime of friendships? It's true that I've never been satisfied with friendships that stay on the surface. That my friends are my family, my truest beloveds, each relationship a world of its own. The best compliment I've ever been given was, "You're so many people's best friend." Maybe I've always sought friendships predicated on deep love and knowing, been unwilling to settle for less, because I learned at such a young age that they're possible. Sabina and I told people when we were little, we love each other. And in the way adaptations of speech made by small children so often do, the phrase feels truer than the original. Between us, there was no separate each, only our. This was my first definition of love.